Johnson in L.A., and when I came home, I went to this big Christian bookstore there. It was probably the largest Christian bookstore that I've been to in my life. And when I came home, I was talking to my wife. She didn't go on the trip with me. And she's going through my bag, and she found this book that I bought there. She goes, well, what's this? Did the conference give this out? I said, no. I went to this big Christian bookstore, and I got this book by Jensen Franklin simply titled Fasting. And she looks at me, and she started laughing. She says, was there nothing else at the bookstore? I'm like, no, it was a really large bookstore. And she goes, well, why would you buy that book? I'm like, I don't know. I just kind of was drawn to it, and I bought it, and then I ended up shelving that book. And I never read it for a few years. And then I believe when the time was right, I picked it up, and I read it. And the Lord really started to challenge my heart in the whole area of fasting. I believe my life before fasting was incomplete. But to bring that component of prayer and fasting and seeking the Lord hard is so important. Fasting has become such a vital part of my life now. And really, to be honest with you, it's become too important to not do every single year. And here's why I think it's really important. Matthew 6:33 says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Fasting helps with just that. And well, let's face it, Christmas time just came and went. New Year's came and went. Thanksgiving just came and went. Many people had birthday parties around that time. They've come and went. And aren't those events all about the feasting? Man, we love getting together with family. We love having this big, massive turkey and all the sides and the stuffing and the gravy. It's just absolutely awesome. But it's all about a celebration of self. It's all about this big feast. Man, I tell you what, I never understood. You Americans do it upright. Man, I've learned so much from you guys. I've even eaten green bean casserole. I didn't even know what that was till I came here. But it's this celebration, this wonderful time to get together and have food. But there's also an important part just to say, you know what? It's time to say no to King's stomach. And it's time to press into what God has for us. Sometimes I think we can think that fasting is, it's just taking something and just saying, you know what, I'm just going to fast from Facebook for a period of time. I'm just going to fast from radio for a period of time or television for a period of time. I always look at it like this. When it means something to you, it's going to mean something to the Lord. But a biblical fast is not abstaining from television. Obviously, they didn't have television back there. But it is, there's something supernatural when we say no to food. Why? Because every single one of us need it. Every single one of us crave it. If you haven't fasted before, you're going to notice some things that happen. You know what? You might get a headache. Oh, man, especially after saying no to caffeine for a little bit. You get this wicked headache. And it's just like, oh. And I remember the enemy uses this. I remember when I first started fasting, you get the hunger pains. You get this headache. You just start to feel weak, and you're like, I'm a terrible faster. I'm going to die. And the enemy, I believe, whispers into your ear, you know what? You just can't do this. You're going to die if you keep this up. But the truth of the matter is after, it seems like day one maybe is the hardest. Sometimes day two is hard. But then as you go a little bit longer, around day three, the digestive system, I'm going to get into that a little bit, but the digestive system kind of shuts off, and it gives it a much-needed rest. And it's just kind of like, wow, God, this is so good. And we can walk into those extended periods of fasting. We're going to talk a little bit today about different biblical fasts that you'll find. And again, last week I sort of shared with us as a congregation is seek the Lord. I'm not going to say you better be doing a 40-day fast. You better be doing a 21-day fast. You better be doing a 1-day fast, a 3-day fast, a 7-day fast. But what I would encourage you to do is seek the presence of seek the face of God. And say, Lord, how would you have me and my family step into what you have for us in this season? When we seek first the kingdom of God, we push away our plate and we press into prayer. And it'll do 5 things for us. Fasting and prayer can help us to hear from the Lord. Fasting and prayer will often reveal hidden sin in our life. Fasting and prayer can strengthen our intimacy with God. Fasting and prayer can teach us to pray with right heart and a right motive. Fasting and prayer can build our faith and strengthen us. So why do we fast? Matthew 6, and Pastor Phil was talking a little bit about this today, but Matthew 6, if you go read through 1 to 18, talks about different things. In verse 2, it says, when you give to someone in need, don't do it as the hypocrites do. And it just kind of goes on to talk about the importance of giving. I tell you what, this is a church that understands giving. This is a church that is very generous, has a heart for the lost, the broken, the needy. I love how the ladies every year do this Christmas tea and honor somebody. And not just with a handshake and a hug, but man, they just come up with so much to be able to really lavishly bless them. Why? Because there's a heart of giving here. We understand giving. And then as you read on in verse 5, it says, and when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their full reward. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father. And then it kind of goes on, talk a little bit more about when you pray. So believers, it's when you give, we as believers are expected to give. When you pray, we as believers are expected to walk into that place of intimacy with the Lord. God is calling us to relationship. God is calling us as our Father to an intimacy in prayer. And then it goes on to teach us how to pray through the Lord's Prayer. And then verse 16, it says, and when you fast. As I was doing some research this week on fasting, I just typed in biblical fast. And this article came up from a source that I really trust and I love. And it says, fasting is in the Bible. It's really recommended, but it's not a commandment for believers. And I'm like, I respectfully disagree with that article. I believe that when it says when you give, when you pray, and when you fast, there's not really an if and there. You know, it's more of a every believer should be walking in these three spiritual disciplines. So when you fast, don't look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others that they're fasting. Truly, I tell you, they received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face, so they'll not be obvious to others that you're fasting, but only to your Father who is seen, who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Fasting is an opportunity to humble ourselves, to seek His face in the midst of busyness, in the midst of chaos, to say, Lord, I come. Fasting is something that not a lot of Christians talk about. You know, we're Pentecostals. We like feasting. We have things like prayer summits, and we have Timbits in there just to say, come on out. There's going to be food. It's like, okay, I can do the Timbits. Come on. You know, we have an event, and we put a meal to it, and it's better attended. Why? Because we like our food. We're Pentecostal. It's awesome. It's in the Bible. Pentecostals eat, you know? But every time I fast, I get closer to the Lord. Doors open up for me to quiet my spirit. Even when I become busy, when we fast, we truly praying without ceasing. For our spirits never sleep. They're always in communication with the Father. Fasting really is an issue of the heart. And we're going to be talking often. And I would encourage you to meditate on Isaiah 58 during your fast. It's called the fasting chapter. It starts out with, shout with the voice of a trumpet blast. Shout aloud. Don't be timid. Tell my people Israel of their sins, yet they act so pious. They come to the temple every day and seem delighted to learn about me. They act like righteous nation that would never abandon the laws of God. They ask me to take action on their behalf, pretending they want to be near me. We have fasted before you, they say. Aren't you impressed? We have been very hard on ourselves, and you didn't even notice. I tell you why, I respond. It's because you're fasting to please yourselves. For even while you fast, you keep oppressing your workers. What good is fasting when you keep on fighting and quarreling? This kind of fast will never get you anywhere with me. You humble yourselves by going through the motions of penance, bowing your heads like reeds bending in the wind. You dress in burlap and cover yourself with ash. And this is what you call fasting? Do you really think this will please the Lord? As we just read, the Lord knows our heart. God knows what is on the inside. And when we set our hearts on prayer and fasting, we can think, man, I'm doing the spiritual thing. But what is the heart motive behind it? Here's three things that fasting should never, ever be about. The first one is, I just talked about it. Face it, we just got out of Christmas. There's so many memes traveling around Facebook right now that show me before Christmas in this healthy little thing and me after Christmas in this big... I saw one with the Puma from, you know, the on your shoes, Puma clothing, and it shows me before Christmas, and it shows the Puma Panther, and then me after Christmas, and it shows this really fat Puma Panther that can't move. And we just got out of that season of feasting. So it's kind of like, you know what, after Christmas, yeah, let's do a fast. I'll lose some weight in that. That'd be great. You know what, you will lose weight fasting. Absolutely. But that can't be our reason. Our reason is not just to step in that place and just say, you know what, I need to drop 20 pounds, so I'm going to fast until I lose 20 pounds. Because that's not what our heart needs to be. Our heart needs to be set upon the Lord. Number two, it's been proven medically healthy to fast. It causes the digestive system to shut down and take a well-deserved rest. Again, this is great, but it can't be the reason. For if you're just doing it to lose weight, that's a horrible way to lose weight. Number three, you do it because someone told you to fast. You know what? Pastor's talking about fasting. Everybody else is fasting. I guess I better fast. Don't do that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Ask the Lord what he's calling you to. It may look different. And we have to be careful too, because if all of a sudden the Lord calls us to an extended fast, what would you do if the Lord called you to a 21-day fast, to a 40-day fast? You know, I think we can become, all of a sudden we're going for a walk and we're doing this extended fast and we see Pastor Phil walking out of the Olive Garden. It's kind of like, hey, what are you doing there? I'm fasting and I'm a member of the church. You're a pastor. We can't judge people's motives, because maybe Pastor Phil, maybe the Lord called him to a one-day fast. And that's what he's spoken over him. And that's awesome. Whatever God has, that's what we step into. Not with judgments, not with preconceived ideas, but Lord, I'm doing this unto you. Would you watch my heart? Fasting is awesome, but if our hearts aren't right, we're just going without food. Zechariah 7:5 says, ask all the people of the land and the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the 5th and 7 months for the past 70 years, was it really for me you fasted? Fasting removes flesh from the throne. Too often we can be selfish, let's face it. You know, it's hard living life without selfish motives. Have you ever went to a meeting of some kind and they propose someone and all of a sudden you step in that place and like, I'm on this side of the proposal because that's what I want? You know, maybe you haven't been there. Maybe you've driven to a city and you got the kids and you're on holidays and you're all excited and you guys are hungry. It's dinner time and you pull into this new town and the kids look in the distance and they see the golden arches and they're like, yes, Dad, let's go there. And you're like, McDonald's? Seriously? And you look at them and you say, kids, come on. We're on an adventure. There's a McDonald's only blocks away from us. Let's try something that this town has that we've never been to before or is not in Bozeman, something that we can try. All right, Dad. But I wonder if that would be our same attitude if it's like, man, I'm craving a Big Mac right now. Because we can be challenged. We can step in our selfish motives. 1 Corinthians 10:7 says, do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. Philippians 3:19 says, their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. When you fast, we need to be intentional. We need to write out the vision before the Lord. Why are you fasting? Lord, I believe that you've called me into a whatever type of fast, And God, I want to write out specifically in my journals. I have it on my office. I like to use those big sticky notes. And every day when I come in for prayer, that's on my wall. That the three things in 2019 that I'm targeting are A, B, and C. That every day I can come before the Lord and say, God, I am praying and I am fasting and I am believing for. We need to be able to do that because we can get distracted in fasting. Write out, target it, the vision that God has given you. You know what? God's desire is to bless you. Face it, we're God's kids. Did you know that your Heavenly Father likes to give you good gifts? Did you know that He desires to bless you? I think in the many, our yes, it becomes something that is monumental. Matthew 7 says, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be open. Which one of you, if a son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then thought you are evil, know how. If those who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask? As a dad, have you ever given your kids good gifts just because you like to see the smile on their face? Man, I remember I like to be a dad that kind of teaches my kids the importance of giving, saving, and spending. And when my kids were really young, we took them to Disneyland. And that's so fun. They never got to, it was the first time we got to go to Disneyland with our family. And my kids were working, just doing these little jobs, and they had a bit of an allowance type of deal, and they had a little bit of money to bring for them. I said, guys, we're going to Disneyland. Disneyland is expensive. Don't ask Dad to buy you sodas when we go to Disneyland because it's expensive. Don't ask Dad to buy you little, Dad, can we have that? Can I have this gift shop? Can I have this? Can I have that? Here is money for you. Here is your money for this, and here is your money for that. When it's gone, it's gone. Everybody understand? Yes, Dad. All right, let's go. So we went down there, and Mackenzie's favorite thing to do, Lucas was all about the rides, but Mackenzie was all about the characters. She loved to see the characters. And the movie that was popular that year, the new movie out, was Rapunzel. And there was a lineup, like an hour and a bit, to go see this Princess Rapunzel. And Mackenzie's like, Dad, I got to go see Rapunzel. This is Rapunzel. I'm like, okay, well, let's go in the line. So we went in the line. And we waited, and we're waiting about an hour. And we're getting really close to the door, and then this little girl comes out from getting her picture taken with Rapunzel, and she has a Rapunzel wig with hair down to here. I'm like, that is awesome. I'm like, where'd you get that? She goes, oh, we bought it at a gift shop down there. I'm like, Mackenzie, I'll be right back. And I went running through Disneyland, just going crazy. Do you have a Rapunzel wig? No. Do you have a Rapunzel wig? No. Do you have a Rapunzel wig? Yeah. How much is it? $25. Yes. Here you go. And I ran back. I'm like, here, we're going to get your picture taken. You need to have the Rapunzel wig. Yeah, way to stand strong, Dad. What do you say? I'm not buying anything here. You got your own money. It's just like, this will bless Mackenzie. It'll make the cutest picture in the whole wide world. And I love her, and I want to show it. You're laughing at me, but I know you've been there. We need to be seeking the Lord and say, God, how can I be part of this 21-day fast and prayer? So I just wanted to share with you this morning seven different biblical fasts that we can find in the Word of God. Number one is the Esther fast. Esther 4:16 says, go to gather together all the Jews who are in Susa. Fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, day or night, and I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, and even though it's against the law, and if I perish, I perish. I would say that this is one of the most difficult fasts in the Bible to do. You know, quite often we read about the 40-day fast, and we're just like, I'm going to fast that. And I've heard people say, I'm going to fast like Jesus did. Jesus went into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, and he didn't eat or drink. That's not true, okay? If you don't drink for 40 days, you're dead. But with this one, going without water for 3 days is a very hard thing. And by the end of the fast, it's just like your body is screaming for water. I would never, ever do this fast unless the Lord leads you into it. It's also, there's different people in the room here. I'm a diabetic. There's different people who have different things in here. And you need to talk to your doctor about fasting too. You know, again, we don't want to push or prod or say you have to. It is between you and the Lord. But again, when the Lord leads you, the Lord sustains you. The Esther fast is a fast for crisis. Esther fast is going 3 days with no food and no water. They were in a crisis. The 3 days of fasting is for trouble. Are you in trouble? Is the enemy hard after your kids, your family, your finances? We can see there are signs of the times, and we know that things are going to get worse before they get better. But as a saint of God, when trouble comes, don't fall down and crumble. But press into God and say, you know what, devil? You might be hard after me and my family, but the Bible said what the enemy meant for evil, the God will use for good, and I trust in the word of God. When trouble comes, we don't just fall to our knees and just say, I'm going to fall apart, but we run into the presence in the arms of the Lord and say, Father, would you help me? A common sentence that I'm sure every one of us in this room have heard from time to time is phrases like, oh man, I feel like I'm fighting a losing battle. You're not. God is awesome. God is all-knowing, all-loving. And when the enemy sets us up for failure, God's God and he turns around for our good. We can walk in that place as kids and cry out to the Lord. In Acts chapter 9, we see that Paul fasted for 3 days when he was blind, and people were trying to kill him, yet the Lord revealed himself and set Paul free. Are you in a crisis? Have you found yourself losing sleep because of anxiety and worry? We don't need man's opinions in times of crisis. We need God's reassurance. We need to be carriers of his peace. I'm telling you, this will open up so many doors when we seek and pray. And I find that, I don't know about you and what your life has been for fasting, but sometimes people get frustrated. They're like, Pastor, I've been frustrated. I've been fasting for 7 days, and it seems like it's got worse. It's not got better. Keep pressing in. Don't give up. I think what happens so many times is the Lord says, I want you to fast for 7 days. And we're like, Lord, I'm going to do this. And we get to day 6 and a half, and we're like, you know what? It's close enough. I'm just going to stop my fast there because I'm not going to really pray anyways. So I'm just kind of done. I'm going to break it. And it's just like a football team taking the ball, going towards the end zone. They stop on the 2-yard line. They're like, that's good enough. We'll just give up from there. It's like, no, carry the ball across the end zone. Oh, look at this Canadian giving football analogies. That says awesome. The next one is the Daniel fast. Daniel 10, 2 to 3 says, at that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat, no wine touched my lips, used no lotions, and until the 3 weeks was over. A 3 weeks fast is a series of 3 sevens, which is God's perfect number of completion. This fast is known as the Daniel fast, and it consists of no bread, no pasta, no meat. It's fasting only fruits, vegetables, some whole grains, and water. This is a great fast as a diabetic to be able to do. It helps to do your insulin and to be able to go through all that kind of stuff. And when we can walk in that place again, it's like, Lord, what are you calling me to? An angel of the Lord came to Daniel after 21 days, and he came to bring him understanding of the vision that Daniel received. God has a plan for everyone in this room. He has given you promises and destiny. It is the waiting there for you, your family, to be able to step into. The 21-day fast is for clarity, direction, and vision. Do you need vision in your life? Do you need direction? God, I'm just not sure what to do. Maybe the Daniel fast is what God's calling you to, where you just say, I'm going to abstain from meat. I'm going to abstain from pasta. I'm going to abstain from this kind of stuff, sugar, and I'm going to walk in that place and just seek the Lord. The Daniel fast is no coffee, no tea, just water for that 21 days. We do not serve or worship a dead God. He's alive. And he's desiring relationship with you. He's wanting to show you things, speak life deep into your spirit. But often we dismiss this as pointless daydreaming. God has keys for your situation and desires to release you into a whole new realm of freedom. Habakkuk 2 says, wait for the vision that I will surely come to pass. Fasting puts you in the best possible position for breakthrough. 2 Samuel 5 says, God is a God of breakthrough, but we position ourselves through prayer and fasting to receive the breakthrough. The 21-day fast gives us understanding of vision. The next fast I want to look at is the one-day fast. Now, how many people are like, okay, sign me up for that. I can do one day. I'm not doing the 21-day, the 3-day, the 7-day. You're crazy. I'm not doing 3 days, no water, no food. But one day, all right, that doesn't sound so bad. The one-day fast is Jeremiah 36:6. You go, therefore, and read from the scroll which I have written at my instruction, the words of the Lord, in the hearing of the people in the Lord's house on the day of fasting, and you shall read them in the hearing of Judah who come from their cities. Leviticus 23:27 says, be careful to celebrate the Day of Atonement on the 10th day of the same month. 9 days after the Festival of Trumpets, you must observe it as an official day for a holy assembly, a day to deny yourself and present special gifts to the Lord. When you do this fast, what you're basically doing is a checkup of your life. You're basically saying, Lord, I want to take one day, and Lord, I ask you in that day to check my heart. Lord, is there anything in there that you're desiring to reveal to me that you want removed? It's like taking our car into the shop, and they put it up to that little computer system and say, you know what, you've got an issue here. When we press into the presence of God, the Lord shows us things that may be hidden. You know what? Have you ever struggled with anger? You ever just have words kind of flow out of your mouth that you're just kind of like, that shouldn't be in my temple? Maybe this is the fast for you to be able to say, God, would you show me what I need to target? Would you show me what's in my heart? But you know what? When the Lord shows us what's in our heart, then what are we going to do about it? We walk then into a place of repentance and say, God, I don't desire any of this in my life. You know, I think God has come a long way in my life. But anger was something that I struggled with a lot. I remember that I was telling you about that trip to Disneyland? Disneyland is the happiest place on earth, right? Right? I remember going to Disneyland. And I had Cindy's brother with us, and the first time we're all going to Disneyland, and we go down to Disneyland. We got the kids, and I think if I remember right, one of my kids went into Uncle Graham's car, and then I think had one of his kids in my car. And I said to Graham, I said, now, Graham, we're about to go, we're staying in Los Angeles, and we had a little bit of a drive to get to Disneyland. I said, you have to stay on my bumper. Like, there's so many cars on this freeway that what I'll do is, as I'm the lead car and you're following me, if I put my blinker on, that means that you move over and then I'll move over in front of you. So we'll just kind of have this little thing so nobody kind of gets in between us. Yeah, let's do this. And then that night when we got to the hotel, I paid, I think, $40 for this little app or whatever called Ride Max. Did anybody use Ride Max? Ride Max is this program that you type in what you want to do, and it tells you the best time to hit different places. So it says, go to this ride first, and then when you're waiting in line, that grab a fast pass for this ride, and it lays this out with a computer-generated thing that kind of takes the traffic and where the traffic go into the park. It kind of goes against it, so you can get on the most rides the quickest. So we had this all planned out, but it's planned out to the second. And it's like, this is awesome! We've got Ride Max. We've got friends. We've got all this thing happening for us. Let's go. So we're driving to Disneyland. We spent our money. We're all set. And all of a sudden, I look in my rearview mirror, and he's probably a football field behind me. And I'm like, what are you doing? We don't have cell phones. Our cell phones didn't work in the States, and we didn't want to pay the extra money to be able to do it. So I'm looking at him, and I'm sending him mind messages. Catch up! Come right on my bumper, like, don't let, and now people are all moving in, and there's like 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 cars. I'm like, what is he doing? He's just sort of, just lackadaisically, just kind of getting further and further behind, and I am getting so stressed out and upset. And then all of a sudden, I look beside me, and he's going off some ramp, going in a completely different road. I'm like, you're going the wrong way. And I'm like, hey, you got my daughter in your car. Oh, now what? I have no way of contacting him. I got that my face is red. I got that blood vein that is getting ready to pop. And I'm like, this is so frustrating. So I pull into the parking lot, and I'm like, Cindy, your brother. And I'm just going off on her about her brother. She's like, I know, Lance, I know, whatever. So I go up to one of the Disney employees, and I'm like, is this the only parking lot for Disneyland? Like, is this the only place? He's got to park. If I wait right here at the entrance, I'm going to see him because everybody's coming in the park. She goes, oh, no, there's two entrances to the park. I'm like, of course there is. Where's the other one? And she's like, it's on the other side. Like, it's sort of like, I don't know if you've been to, I'm sure most of you have been there, but it's kind of like you have one entrance, and then you have this massive, like probably 2 football fields long, and then another entrance down there. It's like this big lobby almost of when you're waiting to get through the gate. So I'm like, I have to find them because he's got my daughter, and now I'm looking at my watch. I'm like, Ride Max is about to start, and we're still in the parking lot. So I said to Cindy, I said, I tell you what, you stand here at this entrance and wait for your brother. I'll go down to the other entrance, and I'll wait for him there. Once, stay there. Once we're all together, then come and find the other person. You know where I am. I know where you are. Sound good? Yeah, sounds good. So I go running down through this parking lot, and I'm just like, man, this is a long run. And I'm waiting there, and I'm looking at my time, and I'm like, we are now late. I just wasted this money on Ride Max. We are now behind schedule, which is going to throw everything off. We should be at the Tower of Terror right now. So I am fuming. And I'm waiting, and I'm waiting. A half hour goes by, and no brother-in-law. And I'm like, well, maybe Cindy is with them. I just got to check it. So I'm like, but if I leave my post and he comes in, I might miss him. So I'm all panicky and I'm all stressed out. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to run full tilt, get to the other side, check in on Cindy and see what's happening. So I book it. And I get down there and it's hot. I'm sweating. I'm out of breath. I'm like tired. And I get all the way down to the other entrance and I can't find Cindy. I'm like, oh no, she met her brother, she's coming to see me, and we missed each other. So I ran back to the other side, I run as hard as I could, and my lungs are just, I'm just dying of running, and I get to the other thing, and I can't find her, and I'm like, what happens if we keep doing this? So I run back to her post again, and I run, and I'm like, I am going to die. Like, I can't take this anymore. And when I get back there, I see her, Cindy, walking in casually with holding a cup of coffee. I'm like, what? She goes, well, I waited for a little bit, but I just decided I wanted a cup of coffee. I'm like, you left your post? How could you leave your post? We are now behind. Oh, man, I tell you what. She's just like, whatever. Graham and Vanessa finally come strolling in with my kids. And I looked at them. I took our Ride Max. I just went, you owe me $40. But inside, let's go to the happiest place on earth now. First time ever with the kids. This is going to be great. Have you been there? That one day fast targets what's deep inside. The next fast is the battle fast. Judges 20:18 says, before the battle, the Israelites went to Bethel. Ask God which tribe should go first to attack the people of Benjamin. I find this is an amazing scripture. Here we see a chapter where Israel are fighting the people of Benjamin. They sought the Lord, they asked God first, and they went out and said to God, we need to attack our brothers in Benjamin, what are we going to do? And the Lord says, go, and they go, and they're destroyed. and they come back, they fall back, they stood before the Lord again, and they asked, Lord, should we go? And God answered, yes, go. And they went out again, and this time they lost the battle again, and they lost 18,000 men. A total now of 40,000 people were killed in 2 days. They're like, God, we went to you twice. We asked you, you said go, and both times we lost. So what happened? They sought the Lord. God said go. They die. Verse 26 is the key. Then all the Israelites went up to Bethel. They wept in the presence of the Lord, and they fasted until the evening. They also brought burnt offerings and peace offerings to the Lord. The Israelites went up seeking direction from the Lord. The Israelites asked the Lord, should we fight against our relatives from Benjamin again? Or should we stop? And the Lord said, go. Tomorrow I will hand them over to you. Intercessors, is so imperative that we make sure that we have no dents in our armor. I remember an intercessor who I admired so much in my life. And we're having this little prayer meeting, and he led us as the head intercessor and said, guys, we just need to take some time, and we need to pray, and we need to seek the Lord and see if there's any reason that anything in our life that will keep us from what God has for us. And then we just sort of went in this room, and we all kind of went and started praying. And then I heard this guy come, and he speaks to his wife. He goes, can I talk to you? And I'm kind of trapped in the corner, and he kind of stood right in front of me with his wife. He goes, you know what, honey, I have to ask your forgiveness. He says, I don't like your mother. And she goes, you don't like my mom? He goes, no, I never have. And he goes, but I want you to know I'm wrong, and I need to ask your forgiveness. And I'm like, wow, this is a man of God who takes prayer so seriously, not wanting to have the smallest dent in his armor. We must remember that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities, and the enemy is roaring like a lion, seeking whom he can devour. The next one is a pray for the lost. You know what? Because of time, we're running out of time, so I'm just going to sort of skip a little bit on these. But Ahab was an extremely wicked king. A prophet says to him in verse 19, this is what the Lord says. Wasn't it enough that you killed Naboth? Must you rob him too? Because you have done this, dogs will lick your blood at the very place where they licked the blood of Naboth. Some people know right from wrong, and still they choose to live wicked lives. How many people in this room right now have a loved one that they were brought up right, but today they're choosing not to worship, not to serve the Lord for whatever reason? That pierces our hearts. This prayer and fast for the lost is for us to be able to step into that place of intercession and lift those loved ones up and say, God, would you withhold judgment? God, would you allow that? And as we read on, we see how the Lord lifted judgments against Ahab because of prayer. The next one there is the fast for health. Isaiah 58, which I talked about, is that fasting chapter, and it's such a great chapter. And Isaiah 58:8 says, then your salvation will come forth like the dawn, and your wounds will heal quickly. Now, some of you are thinking, man, if I'm going to fast, I'm going to get sick. Well, you might get headaches, you might feel awful, you could feel gross, especially in the first few days. The Bible says in Isaiah 58 that our healing will spring forth speedily. Do you have an issue in your life of healing? Maybe that's one of the things you need to target and say, God, would you give me health in this time of fasting? Would you touch my body supernaturally? The Lord's desire is to touch his kids. The last one that I want to talk about is the 40-day fast. Isaiah 58:12 says, again, being the fasting chapter, says, you must shall raise up the foundations for many generations. Maybe you're in here this morning. Patrick, would you come with the team? Maybe you're here this morning, and you're like, you know what? I desire to leave an inheritance to my children's children. Sometimes we think about the best way to leave the inheritance is financial. If I can just make enough money that I can bless my kids and maybe my grandkids and leave something for them. You know what? I think the most important thing is that we can leave a godly inheritance for our families. The Lord Jesus fasted for 40 days, and he went into the desert to get back dominion. He stood in that place and he fasted. And then at the end of his fast, he was attacked by the enemy. That's a whole different sermon. I find it interesting that right when the Lord is at his weakest, that's when the enemy attacked him. And then it says that the angels came and restored Jesus and cared for him. When we fast, we can say, God, I just want to pray and I want to fast for future generations. Lord, I want to leave a legacy to my family that is important. Fasting raises up a foundation for our little ones, for generations, because someone paid the price and laid it out through prayer and fasting. Today, would you like a resolve in your spirit that I'm going to hold up my kids in prayer? I'm going to hold up my grandkids in prayer. I desire to lay that foundation. The enemy wants to destroy them, but God is the God of breakthrough. You know what? How I wanted to close off today is simply by us maybe just taking a moment and standing to our feet and just saying, God, I desire to leave an inheritance to my kids. I desire to leave an inheritance to my kids' kids. And Father, if fasting is the key for that, then Lord, I just pray that you would lead me. I understand that there's people in this room who've never fasted before. And it's just like, sometimes it can seem so overwhelming. But when the Lord leads you, you will be so surprised at what God shows you. And I love, and I want to hear the testimonies that come out of our fast. Because when I've done fasting before, and I've done that at the church that I came before I came here. And the testimonies that came out says, you know what, I never fasted a day in my life, and I fasted, and this is what God did. I was blown away. Because God wants to show us the importance of prayer and fasting. When you give, check, Lord, I've give. Tithes are important to me. Offerings are important to me. Yes, Lord, I'm for that. When you pray, check. Lord, I pray every day. I read my Bible. I know that's important. That's my spiritual food. When you fast, well, wait a minute, God. That sounds serious. God is calling us up. He's calling us to a depth of relationship with him. And I just can't wait to hear from this assembly the testimonies that spring out through fasting. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. If you want to just stand to your feet today and just say, Lord, just before you stand, because I want you to understand this call. It's saying, Lord, my heart is open. And Lord, I'm listening right now to hear what you're calling me to in this fast. And God, I'm in. I want to fast. I want to pray. And I just pray that you lead me in whatever that looks like for myself and for my family. If that's you this morning, would you stand to your feet and just say, I'm in, God. Check my heart. Praise you, God. Father, I just thank you for every single person in this room. And Lord, I understand that not everybody's standing, and Lord, I appreciate that. But Lord, I just pray, God, that you would call us, that you would challenge us into what you're leading, what that looks like in our mind, in our life. Because God, when it costs us something, that it means something to you. And Lord, I just pray, God, Lord, I can't wait to hear the testimonies that spring forth. Because you're a good God, and you're calling us to something new. Some of us have fasted for years, and God, it's something that we do regularly. Lord, bless them. Help us to walk in the gifting and calling that you have for us. Pastor David is talking about to the kids about how we can fast candy, how we can fast television. Lord, bless our kids. If they can catch the principle of fasting at a young age, God, and seeking first the kingdom of God, Lord, it'll change their life. But God, I just pray, Lord, that we would just be able to trust in you and step in that place that you're calling each and every one of us in Christ's name.